Christ is in our midst.
He is in our midst, shall we.
Brothers and sisters in Christ, there are real benefits to having a deacon. You can read the gospel to all those names. And I am very blessed to have a deacon and have a good deacon. Deacon Jeff. Why such a long list of names? When Elizabeth and Noah introduce their son to you and tell you his name, they're not going to go back so many generations and tell you, well, he's the son of this one, the son of that one, son of that one, and go through a list. We don't do that. But you know, among the Jews, this was very important. It was a way to define who a person was. We're much more individualistic now. But there, it matters. And especially for someone as important as the Messiah. To claim that Jesus is the Messiah is one thing. But well, whose son is he? And what is his lineage? Because he has to be the son of Abraham, to whom God promised to bring salvation to all people. And he has to be the son of David. Especially the son of David. You know, the Jewish people in general could say, oh, we're children of Abraham. Right? You see that in the Gospels. We're children of Abraham. But who is the son of David? The promise to Abraham was that he would be the father of many nations and that all peoples would be blessed through him. All peoples would be blessed through him. So the Messiah, to bring blessing to the world, must be a child of Abraham. And he must be the son of David. First thing I want to say is that the blessing that comes to the world and the salvation that comes to us comes through one people, one lineage, and one person, the Messiah Jesus. Very particular. Salvation doesn't come through good people, maybe Buddhas or whatever. It doesn't come through other religions. It comes through one people, the people of Israel. And the son of Abraham, the son of David. Now, the blessings which come through this Messiah are not just for Israel. They're not just for one people. They're for all people. They're for all nations. All nations will be blessed through Abraham. And all people will come and worship God through the King of Israel, through David's son. So Matthew has taken a list of some 40-plus names and transformed it into a little theology of God. What in the hands of a less gifted writer would leave us dry as the Sahara Desert turns into the hands of Matthew a collection of gems. For the genealogy teaches what theology calls God's nature. First, God's mercy, his judgment, and his faithfulness. And these three elements are seen in Matthew's little theology of God, where he promises that he will bless the world through Abraham and through David. And there's a progression there. King David was the great king, and things were looking good. Yes, the Messiah is going to come. Well, then You find God's judgment that comes on his people. And they end up spending years and years in exile because of their unfaithfulness. The time is not yet. But then there's the promise that Christ will come. And the temple is restored. The people are back in the promised land. And there's hope. There's a lot of hope and expectation around the time that Jesus was born. In the first half of the chapter, we see a long list of names stretching from Abraham to Jesus. Matthew is fascinated by the 3x14 shape of the genealogy, where important knots are tied 3 times in Israel's history, once every 14th generation. The first, as I said, was an upward climb in history with a promise-moving history from Father Abraham to King David. The second set of 14 plummets downward in danger and judgment from King Solomon to the Babylonian exile. And then finally, the last 14 move upward again in hope and fulfillment from exile to Christ. In each set of 14 generations, Matthew has placed 3 clusters of surprises. These surprises make the genealogy not only interesting, but also theologically instructive. In the 3 sets of 14, we see the creative way that God the Father shaped history for the coming of his Son by his Spirit. Now, in the first set of 14, we find Abraham listed with his genealogy. And in that list, we find some women. Now, normally you don't find women in a list of genealogies for the Jewish people. I mean, they are important, right? But they're usually not given much prominence at all. And certainly they're not important in the list of genealogy, but they are in this one. This first list of 14, lists 4 women. And they're not the 4 you might think. You might think, okay, well, maybe Abraham and Sarah. Maybe we'll hear about Sarah. No. So then Isaac and Rebecca. Oh, beautiful Rebecca. No Rebecca. Jacob and Leah and Rachel? No. We hear about Tamar. Oh my goodness. You know the story of Tamar and Judah? I won't go into that story. Then there's Rahab. The father, Salmon, was the father of Boaz by Rahab. She was a prostitute. But she turned and joined the people of God. So she's listed. And then there's Ruth. Ruth is really the most honorable. They're all honorable women. Really, they are in their own way. They are repentant women. But Ruth, you do find in the list that was mentioned in our Orthodox list of genealogies this morning. And then the last of the women who are listed are in David's line. David was the father of Solomon by the wife of Uriah the Hittite, Bathsheba. That was not a very good point in David's history. You know that story, so I won't go into that one either. So why is that? Why Tamar, Rahab, Ruth, and Bathsheba? One commentator said, I think it's because God wants us to know that he loves sinners. loves sinners. If he didn't, would you be here this morning? And he wants us to know that Jesus came and became one of us and identified himself with us so that you can't know who Jesus is if you tried just to find the pure lineage. Jesus took upon himself our human nature in all of its brokenness. Now, that may offend some people, but I'm Orthodox and say he didn't take upon himself a pristine type of our human nature like before the fall. He took upon himself our fallen human nature without sin. So that when he was hit, or when a crown of thorns was placed on his head and pushed down, blood could come out. When a spear went into his side, blood and water came out. And when he hung on the cross, he hung and he died. That's our fallen, broken human nature. He took it upon himself. He identified so with us so that he could heal every part of our being. So this is the Sunday that we go through the genealogy, and we find that the Messiah is a particular one. He comes through the history and lineage of Israel, and he takes upon himself the brokenness of that lineage. He becomes one with us. In Hebrews chapter 2, we read, because of the great love wherein he loves us, he did not shrink back from identifying with us in our fallen condition. And in the words of Scripture, he became sin for us so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. And Hebrews 2 verse 11, for both he who sanctifies and those who are being sanctified are all of one. For which reason, he is not ashamed to call them brethren. He is not ashamed to call you his son and his daughter. Jesus is not ashamed to call you his brother and you his sister and brothers. Thank God for the forever kingdom of this Son of David, who reigns in love and forgiveness and righteousness and peace, who has come for everyone as the Son of Abraham, so that we are all blessed in him. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.